You're listening to the Body Pros podcast coverage of CROI 2008, the 15th Conference on Retroviruses and Opportunistic Infections. The conference took place in Boston, Massachusetts from February 3rd through February 6th, 2008.
Welcome. This is Bonnie Goldman, Editorial Director of the Body Pro. Right now, I'm in the poster session where researchers are standing in front of their posters. There's nothing like hearing the results of research directly from those who have actually conducted the research. It is these women and men who are transforming HIV treatment and care. In this podcast, the researchers will introduce themselves and then summarize their study. After their summary, I'll ask a few questions. Accompanying me on this interview is Dr. Gerald Perrone, a clinician and researcher who is the director of the AIDS Research and Treatment Center of the Treasure Coast in Fort Pierce, Florida.
Hi, I'm Usha Phillips from Jacoby in the Bronx, New York.
Jacoby Medical Center?
Jacoby Medical Center, yeah. And what we wanted to look at was compare the perinatally infected kids who are pregnant, compare them with the horizontally infected women and see what the difference was between the two groups and what treatment they got and what was the transmission in both the groups and if it was any different, whether the perinatal group had, the babies had different kinds of treatment. So what I looked at was the CD4 values, the absolute values before, during, and after pregnancy. And the CD4 values were lower during all the periods in the perinatally acquired group. But in the horizontally acquired, once they started treatment, they recovered their CD4 and the CD4 counts went up. The horizontally acquired group in the viral load actually dropped down to more than 85%. We were able to get undetectable levels in the horizontally acquired group. Whereas in the perinatally acquired group, they kind of stayed around the levels they were in the pre-pregnancy period. And only during the last trimester we were able to get control. And only about 38% of them we were able to get them undetectable levels. And in the postpartum period, both the groups had some loss of control. And the horizontally acquired group, they eventually stabilized and they went back to the baseline, whereas the perinatally acquired group, they kind of totally lost control, and which kind of means that it'll affect their maternal health. And the birth weights were different in both the groups, and most of the horizontally acquired groups were normal spontaneous delivery, whereas most of the perinatally acquired were all C-sections. There were no transmission in either of the groups. Most of the kids who from both the groups had the standard protocol, the 076 protocol, and there were only 3 babies that were given multiple drugs during the period. That is because moms had high viral load, low CD4 counts, and they had C-sections, and they were given 3 drugs. And the doctors made the choice as to what to give, and they came up with the treatment.
Could you describe the patients in the study?
Most of the horizontally acquired group, 78% were African Americans, and 67% were Hispanics in the perinatally acquired group.
Hi, I'm Jerry Perrone from the AIDS Research and Treatment Center of the Treasure Coast. One thing I noticed was that, as you mentioned, a greater percentage of patients with perinatally acquired infection had C-sections. Was that reflective of the inability, in many of them, to get their viral load undetectable by the time of delivery?
Yes.
I see the average age of perinatal infection of delivery was 20 years. Do you have a range of the youngest?
It is 17 to about 22.
When we think of adolescents in our clinic, I think of 12 to 19-ish. It sounds like we...
I looked at only the pregnant women. Yeah, sure. I mean, the adolescents range from 11 to...
Early 20s.
Early 20s.
And so I understand in your conclusions, you're talking about some ideas about why you're seeing this. Could you discuss that?
The numbers are limited. So I think what we need to do is a multi-center collection of data to look at what we can do with how to manage these babies, what treatment to give them, and what is the ideal management for all these patients. And unless we get that data, it'll be hard to kind of make conclusions based on it. But based on what I see, it reflects that there's a lot of these psychosocial problems because of chronic HIV infection and adherence. And although adherence, we were managed to able to get them under control in the third trimester, but you know, the first two trimester we didn't. And this is despite the intensive integrated center that we have, where they get social work and they go through all the counseling during all the stages of pregnancy. Despite that, we've not been able to do it. So we do need to, in the postpartum period, again, the high viral loads is again is a concern, because that is going to affect the maternal health. And with the new baby and all the issues that surrounds it, it's going to be a problem.
How many had multi-drug resistant HIV?
Almost all of them. All of them had at least one, two class drug resistance.
And just out of curiosity, did you note how many had partners or good home situations that they were going back to stable lives?
I didn't go into the social aspects. I mean, the data is there. I can collect it, but I didn't go in.
Because I guess I'm interested in characterizing this population, which I think we're just beginning to understand. Because they're just reaching of age, they're just getting pregnant. And
yeah, this is going to be a problem from now on. I mean, it's just going to, the population is going to increase. Because most of the teenage infected are in the teenage group now. You know?
Right.
So numbers are increasing. And a lot of them have more. Although it's only 13 pregnancies, but there were more pregnancies, but there were also terminations and abortions and stuff. I didn't put that into the count.
So it sounds like one of the take-home messages for clinicians is as these perinatally infected young women become pregnant, you plan to support them with a comprehensive social support, but also be prepared for challenges in their medical care.
Yeah, it should be social. It should be ability to get them controlled all through the pregnancy, and also the immediate postpartum period. That is one crucial time where I think the focus has to change from the baby to the maternal health, because that is where we see the total loss of control here. You know? So mental health is another issue. Whether postpartum depression plays a role or not, I don't know. We haven't looked at it. And that's a major challenge.
And I think that this isn't the first study that has showed this. There was another study by Turner Overton from the University of Washington in St. Louis that showed a similar thing with women who managed to have negative children. So everyone was successful in doing that. But then they were lost to follow-up or died after they had the baby because they had no support once they got home.
Yeah.
So, and also their concern was their baby, not their own health.
Absolutely, yeah. We have a couple who have deteriorated a little bit in terms of health. We had one death and one who has deteriorated a little bit. But I think if you look at the graphs, I think this is more telling that eventually it's going to be a problem where maternal health is the main concern postpartum period.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The opinions expressed by hosts or interviewees in this podcast do not constitute professional advice, should not be considered substitutes for professional services, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of Body Health Resources Corporation or its sponsors. Please see the full disclaimer online at thebodypro.com. If you have comments or questions, please contact us.
This has been a report on CROI 2008 from The Body Pro. For more podcasts and full coverage of this conference, visit us online at thebodypro.com/CROI2008.